Thank you, Sister Molly. I sure agree with that, don't you? Need him now more than ever. Well, appreciate that. Tonight we got a special blessing. We have Pastor Greg Neal with us. Brother Greg and his dad, Brother Tom, been our friend for years, have been doing a great work pastoring up there Jacksonville area. I just asked him if he'd heard from home and if it got much damage, but he thinks not. But we're so glad to have him, and I think he's got his family. I'll let him introduce them, maybe. But we always believe in claiming the blessing when we can. He's a good preacher and stands for what we stand for. Amen. And we've asked him to bring the message tonight. So, Brother Greg, you come on, please.
Thank you so much. Good to be with you tonight. If you want to be turning your Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number one, and it is my honor and privilege to be in the service tonight and then have the opportunity to speak to you. I certainly appreciate the opportunity. Your pastor is quite a remarkable man. I don't know if you realize that or not, but I certainly appreciate his example for all of these years as a younger preacher. It certainly encourages me just being in his presence, and I just feel like I'm in the presence of one of God's choice servants when I'm in the presence of your pastor, and it's certainly an honor to be preaching tonight. And then when I'm with Brother Parsons, I feel the exact opposite. Yeah, it's good to be with friends tonight, and I certainly appreciate the opportunity to bring the message tonight. I do have my wife and two of my daughters with me, my wife Heather right back here on my left, and then Addison and Anna. I would make them stand, but they will not speak to me the rest of the night if I make too much about that. But I appreciate the friendship here and what this place represents. Acts chapter number one, I'm going to give, with the Lord's help, a thought tonight. I began preaching our theme there in Jacksonville this year. We've had a theme of action built around Acts 1:8. And I certainly do believe that verse is a verse of action. We can talk about reaching the world, but if we don't get busy reaching the world is not going to be reached. I began preaching through the book of Acts, and the Lord showed me something in the scripture that has been a personal help to me. It was a help to our church, and I, with the Lord's help, I'll bring it to you tonight. Let's begin reading in verse number 8 of Acts chapter number 1, and we'll read down to verse number 14. The Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James." Watch verse 14. "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus." We have a very familiar passage of Scripture, a very important passage of Scripture. Verse number 8, as we know, we have that commission from our Savior before he ascends into heaven. You think of everything that the Lord said in his earthly ministry was important. If Jesus says something, it's important. That's why every word in the Bible is important. If God put it in there, then he wants us to hear it. But think about the last words that Jesus gave to his followers, was to go to the world and be witnesses of me after the power. And so they did what you and I probably would have done as you have to think that they had traveled with the Lord Jesus. Now they had witnessed him be crucified. He's risen from the dead. He's ascending into heaven. They watch him ascend into heaven until they can no longer see him again. Then in verse number 11, they're asked that question by the two men in white apparel, those angels, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" In other words, they're saying, why are you gazing when you should be going? Yeah. Do what he instructed you to do. Now, notice they did something very, very important. They went as a group, and they are going to pray for the power of God. They had to have the power of God before they could do what it was that God has given them to do. Now, this is not my message tonight, but it's worth me pointing out while we're here this evening. If you're going to do anything for God, you need his power. If you're young parents that have children at home, if you're going to rear your children, you must have the power of God to do so. But if you're going to teach a Sunday school class, if you're going to win souls, if you're going to make a difference, you have to have the power of God. They assembled together in what a group to have church with. Did you see it there? Those disciples, Peter and James and John and Andrew, and they are listed there. What a group. And besides them, verse 14, we find these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. And notice this last one that is listed by name. And Mary, the mother of Jesus. We know Mary, the mother of Jesus, because she's referred to as the mother of Jesus. But tonight, I want to speak to you with the time that I have on this subject. Mary, the church member. Mary was the mother of Jesus. Scripture tells us that. But when this church assembled together to obey the command that Jesus had given them, his last commission before he ascended into heaven, as the church assembled together, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was also Mary, the church member. Amen. I want you to think about that thought. Let's ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, I pray that with the few minutes we have tonight as we gather around the Word of God, first of all, we thank you for the Scripture. We thank you for the direction the Word of God gives us. Father, I thank you tonight for this church and the faithfulness and the not just for the pastor, but the people through all of these years. And Father, I pray that you'll just, with the time we have, may it be a help to us, may it be an encouragement to us. You knew this crowd would be here on this night. You knew this message would be preached. May it be a help to our hearts this evening. We do, as we close in prayer, we do ask for those who've been affected by this great storm. May you give mercy there. Bless our time remaining, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, quite a unique person, a unique task that she was created for, and she was asked of God if she would fulfill with her life. She was asked if she would carry the Christ child, if she would be the human instrument to bring God clothed in flesh into this world. What a responsibility. What a large responsibility to ask of this dear woman. She would be have reproach on her because of this. And we know the reason Christ came was to pay for the sins of the world. When God gave her this task, and of course she was willing to fulfill this task, for 9 months she carried the Lord Jesus in her womb as a mother carries her child. She'd feel the Christ child kick as any mother would feel her child. I don't understand. I have children, but I have never carried a child. Obviously, the bond between a mother and her child, and the bond between a mom and that baby, and what an important thing that is. And if you think of Mary, who was flesh and blood, like we were flesh and blood, and she was asked of this responsibility, and for 9 months she carried the Christ child. Yeah. As Jesus was, and we know we centered Luke 2 around the birth of our Savior and brought into this world and the birth of that child. And Mary cared for that child, and Mary nurtured that child, and Mary looked after her. She was like any other mother. And can you imagine the pride that Mary, the mother of Jesus, had in her child? I mean, moms, you know how it is. There is no child as cute as your child. There is no child as well-behaved as your child. Your child is the exception. Your child is the one who is just special, no matter what anybody else says. That's the way a mother feels about her child. Can you imagine the feelings that Mary had for her child? One, she had carried this child. She had delivered this child. She had cared for this child. But she also knew that he was the Christ child.
Right.
How she must have cared for him. And you know the story at 12 years of age when she did what, we won't have you raise hands tonight, but what Southern mothers have done, she forgot her child.
Yeah.
But in this case, she didn't leave Jesus at Walmart or some other place. She left, they had forgotten Jesus, and they didn't forget him. They assumed he was with different family, and realizing that Jesus had been left behind. And can you imagine the panic that must have filled her heart? Moms, you know how it is. Your child gets away from you in a public place for 5 seconds, and your heart begins to beat real fast. And maybe that's when you get to the car and leave. I don't know. I've never met your child, but you know how it is. Your heart begins to beat real fast, and the worst case scenario begins to run through your mind. And man, we try and understand what goes on up there, but that's a whole other subject right there. But the heart begins to beat real fast. Can you imagine Mary being the day's journey away?
Yeah.
It's not only her child, a love, a bond that a mother has with a child. This is the Christ child.
Amen.
God had given her a responsibility. And can you imagine how much she probably beat herself up this whole journey back? Of course, we know the story. Can you imagine the pride that Mary, the mother of Jesus, must have had for Jesus? Now, those of you that are moms tonight, your pride, your child grows, you're proud of them, and they take that first step, they begin to grow, but you have to, and you're, all of our children, they're not perfect, they're imperfect. They make mistakes, they're sinners, but this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine how much pride she had for the Lord Jesus? As he began to grow and he entered into his earthly ministry, and he began to teach in the synagogue, and he began to preach, and he began to do some of the miracles that are recorded on the pages of Scripture, she would watch several things, and all this pride and love she had for her heart. You remember how eager she was at that marriage of Canaan when she went to him and he said, "It's not my time yet"?
Yeah.
She was eager for everybody to know about Jesus, what she knew about him.
Yeah.
She had such a pride for him, such an adoration for him, such a love for him. But as he began to progress in his earthly ministry, she saw something for the first time she had not seen before. She saw some reject him. She heard whispers about him. She probably reacted like every mother in this room has reacted at some point in their life. How dare you speak ill of my son? I cannot believe that you would reject the Lord Jesus. Think of what she saw, and she heard them, saw them reject. She heard the bad things they said about him. Think about what it must have done to her heart as he was arrested, and that mockery of a trial to they even put the Lord Jesus on trial, and to hear the chance of crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Can you imagine the emotional wreck she must have been through? And she witnessed the Lord Jesus crucified. We know she was there because Jesus speaks to her. Moms, when your kid skins their knee, it's all your husband can do to restrain you from calling 911. Because it's your child. Because you don't want to see your child hurt. You don't want to see your child shed a tear. You don't want to see your child suffer. Can you imagine? The scripture tells us that the Lord Jesus was not even recognized as a man. Can you imagine Mary, the mother of Jesus, as she looked on her son? The same son that she carried for those 9 months. Yes, we know he was the only begotten Son of God. We know he was the Lord Jesus, but she carried that child. She had a bond to him. She was the mother of Jesus, and to watch her son go through that suffering. Jesus took his last breath, and of course we know, praise God, tonight he came forth victorious from that tomb. But along the way, Mary, the mother of Jesus, dealt with a lot of emotions. We find her with the church after Jesus ascended. You say, well, Pastor Neil, that's great, and I see, well, you go through this of Mary, the mother of Jesus. I'm not sure how that really correlates with Mary, the church member. Well, Mary, the mother of Jesus, still needed the church. But let me point out a bigger thing here that I think will be a good reminder to all of us and certainly a help to us. Mary had to not only process the emotion of watching her child be mistreated, watching the Lord Jesus be rejected, watching the Lord Jesus be crucified. She also understood that those followers of Christ who were there with him in his darkest hour, they were nowhere to be found. Yeah. Not only did they desert the Lord Jesus, not only were they gone, Peter even warmed himself by the devil's fire. He even associated with those who were putting the Lord Jesus through that suffering. Peter was willing to deny him. I don't know him. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to associate with him. I'm also going to associate with the ones who are doing this to him. Can you imagine what that mother had to process emotionally? Can you imagine the feelings that she could have if she did not actually develop feelings toward Peter? But yet we find in the passage of Scripture what a group assembled together. There are all of the disciples, Peter and John and James and Andrew and many unnamed brethren there. But there is Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary the church member, Mary where she should be in the house of God with the people of God. Now tonight we may ask, how in the world could she experience all that and not get bitter at Peter? Not get bitter at these other disciples? She was just like you and I. She was flesh and blood. She had emotions as any other woman would have. She had emotions as any other mother would have. It would be natural for her to say, Peter, why in the world would you desert the Lord Jesus? John, where were you? Andrew, where were you? Where is Thomas? I mean, he's disappeared and he's in and out anyway. He don't know what's up and down. It would have been easy for her to get angry and then bitter. Yeah. At those who she had perceived had failed her son. Yeah. There's a simple and an easy parallel for the church of the day. Christians have got angry at other Christians for a lot less than that. Christians have got bitter at other Christians for a lot less than that. Christians have left churches as good as this church because somebody else's child got promoted over their child and they didn't think it was fair.
Christians have got angry and bitter and therefore turning off the voice of God in their life because they felt that somebody had failed and somebody had wronged. If I could take some liberty tonight, if this was the average Baptist church, Mary would have gone to the other women in the church and said, "How dare Peter be here? Doesn't everybody know how bad he failed?" If she was like a lot of Christians today, she would have made sure before they even got to the house of God that everybody knew how bad Peter had failed. Everybody knew that the disciples had deserted, and it was no use anyway, because why in the world would God use this group of people? Yeah. But see, we don't find that about Mary, the mother of Jesus. We don't find that about Mary, the church member, because Mary never made it about her. Mary knew that this was the Son of God. Mary knew that God had asked a very specific thing of her. She didn't know everything that would go, everything she was signing up for. She didn't know everything she would face, but God had chosen her, and what an honor, what a privilege to be the one to bring this Christ child into the world, but yet she didn't understand everything she was going to face. Yet when it was all said and done, we find her in the house of God with the people of God. Amen. And the scripture tells us they're in that upper room praying for power. If we turn to page of scripture, you find, and if you know anything about your Bible, you know in Acts chapter 2 what takes place. As a result of the power of God. Friend, I can tell you, this preacher certainly knows it. I've lived long enough to know it. There are some things that will hinder the power of God, and one of those is bitterness, and one of those is discord sowing. It would have been natural, humanly speaking, for Mary to be angry. But we know she wasn't. She was where she was supposed to be because she never made it about her. Christian, it's not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus. As privileged as you've been to have this man as your pastor for all these decades, it's not about him. It's about the Lord Jesus. So when somebody doesn't shake your hand and somebody does you unfairly, I tell my people, if nobody's offended you yet, just hang around here a few more weeks and somebody will get to you, I promise. But it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I can come and I can contribute and I can be a part, well, if I live long enough, this world is going to be cruel to me. If I live long enough and I'm in the house of God enough, there's going to be another Christian who's going to say something to me they probably shouldn't have said. Matter of fact, the pastor might even say something that I don't think he should have said. Now, I'm certain not here, but certainly in my place that would be the case. He would say something that rub me the wrong way. Friend, it's not about you. If Christians would get over themselves and forgive one another and not worry about what somebody else has done, and if there's somebody who has been broken, somebody who has failed, and God chooses to use them, you and I ought to stand to our feet and applaud the grace of God and cheer for them and pull for them instead of saying, if I was the pastor, I wouldn't let them do that. Doesn't he know what they did? Doesn't he? Friend, truth of the matter is, none of us are worthy to be used of God. Every time God uses you, it ought to drive us to our knees to say thank you. Let me, very quickly, I'm just going to mention four things that I believe contributed to Mary, the church member, not being angry, not being bitter. First of all, and I'll just mention these to you, she accepted the will of God. Amen. She accepted the will of God for her life. God chose her. He called her to do a specific task. She accepted that. And with that is the blessings. And with that, if I can say it like this, is the curses. Yeah. It's the positives It's the negatives. Friend, and you college students understand, you're on fire for God, and you're going to go win this world, and you think everybody's going to be excited about it. They're not.
Right.
You think Christians are going to be excited about it. They're not. But she accepted the will of God for her life. When the Lord Jesus, boy, there's so much truth in this one verse of Scripture. He has ascended into heaven. And she didn't say, oh, God's done with me. He's gone now. No, she's in the house of God saying, what else can I do? This is a whole nother message, but she's praying for power for the people who put her son on the cross to be saved. Now, there is no bitterness in her heart to be able to do that. There is no unforgiveness in her heart to be able to do that. But she accepted the will of God. Number two, she trusted God's plan. You can't always see God's plan. You don't always know what God's doing. So many times, Christians, when things don't go the way they think they should go, or they think I've been done unfairly and things are not right, we go and we take out of the hands of God our life and our direction, and we say, this is just not fair, this is just not right. Christian, trust the plan of God. God is always in control. He's always on His throne. He's not surprised by anything. And somebody offending you is not going to change the will of God. Is not going to change what God has planned. What Mary did not understand, God knew all that was going to take place, but Jesus was still coming forth out of that grave 3 days later. He was still going to have the keys of death and hell with Him. Trust the plan of God.
Amen.
That's why sometimes if you don't understand what the pastor's doing, or you think he shouldn't use somebody in a certain situation, God has placed one man over as the under-shepherd of the church, and the church is to follow Him. He's not perfect. I tell my people, if you ever doubt that I'm perfect or not, just go ask my wife. It won't take very long, but it's God's plan. Trust in God's plan, number three. And this is where many Christians get stuck. She forgave the wrongdoers. I can only imagine what must have gone through her heart when Peter warming by that fire.
Yeah.
Peter, don't you know what you were before Jesus found you? How could you do that to the Lord Jesus? Lord, now how can you do that to my son?
Yes.
I know where you were before He found you. Here we are. Verse 14, we find her there. Forgiven.
Yes.
Why is it that people who God has forgiven can't find it in their heart to forgive others?
That's good. Come on. Amen.
Well, they don't deserve it. Tell me how you do. I look at it like this. I decided a long time ago, Brother Carter, I don't want bitterness in my heart. I don't want the devil to get me anyway. I don't want him to get me that way. And every time I forgive somebody who doesn't deserve it, it's a reminder to me that I've been forgiven when I don't deserve it. She forgave the wrongdoers. She forgave the failures of Peter. You know, if more Christians would pray for those with failures, then be offended by them, to hold them against them,
yes,
to not forgive them. Oh, she forgave the wrongdoers. And number four, she continued to contribute to the work of God. Churches like this church, you've had a steady diet of the Bible for not months or years, but decades. The devil's not going to get the average Christian in a church like this, in a church I'm privileged to pastor, with a beer bottle.
Yeah.
It's going to be bitterness.
Amen.
It's going to be unforgiveness.
Amen.
It's going to be, well, that was unfair. God wasn't fair, so therefore I'm done.
Yeah.
Well, I never saw that coming when I was in my 20s. I didn't know this tragedy was going to take place. I didn't know life was going to bring this turn of events. And if I'd have saw that coming, I wouldn't have signed up for this. And I'm done. Well, I'm not going to fall out of church. I'm just not going to contribute like I used to. She still contributed to the work of God. Can you imagine what would be done in our nation if every Christian got the unforgiveness out of their heart, got the bitterness out of their heart, and continued to contribute to the work of God? Friend, you don't understand how important you are to this church, to this preacher, to this city. Well, I don't do a whole lot. You just being here says, I'm on board. I'm for what's going on. God, use me however you can use me. You just taking time to pray. Well, I can't do what I used to could be able to do. Can you pray? Can you hold the man of God up before heaven? Can you pray for those on that prayer list? Can you pray for Sunday school? Can you pray for laborers? Oh, contribute to the work of God. Peter is going to be used by God in a great way in chapter number 2. Right. Power is going to fall. Thousands are going to be saved. Yes. I believe there's a lot of reasons God chose Peter, and I believe one of them is to show it doesn't matter how you fall, God can bring you back and still use you. Amen. But just as I mentioned that Mary wasn't pointing out how Peter fell, Peter didn't have to be reminded. Peter knew. And I believe, Pastor Cardi, and if you disagree with me, please feel free to correct me, but I believe the greatest hindrance to Christians that stumble to coming back and being used of God is other Christians. What are they going to think? What are they going to say? This is just me, but could you imagine what it must have done in the heart of Peter to assemble in that upper room and to see Mary, the mother of Jesus, in the congregation?
Amen.
Can you imagine what it must have done in the heart of those other men who in so many ways must have felt like they failed the Lord Jesus? And if there was anybody who had a reason not to be there, it was Mary, the mother of Jesus. Yeah. If there was anybody who would have been, humanly speaking, it was okay for them not to be there. Everything she's gone through, it would be Mary, the mother of Jesus. Yeah. If there was anybody who had a, humanly speaking, an excuse to not be there, to be upset, to not having got it over yet, it would be the woman who carried the Christ child for 9 months, the woman who had been under her care as he was a child. If there was anybody who had a reason not to be there, it was Mary. But there she was. And I just happen to believe that when those men saw Mary, the mother of Jesus there, how it must have strengthened their heart. So I've been done unfair. Show up, you just may be the encouragement somebody else needs.
Amen.
See, Mary never made it about her. If you're bitter tonight, doesn't matter however you explain it, doesn't matter any way you cut it, it's about you and it's not about Jesus. There's another brother or sister you have not forgiven. Don't come tell me how it's all about him. It's not. It's about you.
Yeah.
Your bitter spirit. And this is the message the Lord put on my heart tonight. I really don't know you very well, but I know Christians pretty well. And if there's one thing that the devil uses, it's the I'm offended. I'm not going to forgive. I'm bitter now. This is not the way the Lord that I thought it was going to happen. Friend, it's not about you. It's about him. Forgive whoever you haven't forgiven. Get the bitterness out of your heart. Trust the will of God. Trust the plan of God. Contribute to the work of God. And just say, whatever I can contribute. Maybe I can't do what somebody else could do, but I can be there so they can see I'm for it. They can see that I'm... What would it do to somebody mine who got away from God and came back to God to have a cheerleader in the church and say, you can do it. You can keep on going. And when you see them a little bit discouraged, say, hey, don't give up on God. He didn't give up on you. What would it do in the heart of Christians to have somebody in the church as an encourager instead of one harboring unforgiveness? Father, I pray tonight that you'll take this simple truth, but this powerful truth, this life-changing truth, and I pray that you'd use it. I've preached to the best of my ability what you put on my heart to preach tonight to these good people. Father, do with it as you would. Bless this man, bless this church. In Christ's name we pray.